West Texas, there is a county called Loving County. If you look at the map, it's kind of at the elbow, far West Texas. A few years ago, something very strange happened. A child was born. You think, well, that doesn't sound too strange. Well, it had been 20 years since a child had been born in Loving County, Texas. No hospitals, no doctors, no nurses. A county of only 100 people. And while it's an odd statistic that a child was born and hadn't been 20 years, it's really not much to mention. But when a church goes for years without a spiritual birth, it's tragic. It's tragic. Now, I'm thankful for a church where we really do place an emphasis on helping people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and experience that new birth. For those who are guests, I'm in a series of messages about our vision. And so let me state the vision for you. We engage all people to experience Christ and equip them for life. Now, last week we studied about engaging and how important that is, and I shared a pretty bold vision of what I believe God wants to do here at Linwood. I really do believe that one day we could have 300 preschoolers and children attending our church every Sunday. I believe that one day we could have 200 junior high and senior high students worshiping with us. I believe we could have 500 college students here. I believe that we could have 1,000 adults in small group Bible studies here on our campus and around our community. I believe one day we could have 2,500 average attendance on Sunday morning worship. I really believe that can happen. We've talked about a lot of that this week, and people are asking, well, how long will that take, and how are we going to do that? And we're already discussing ways to do that. Now, hear me again. The numbers are not what's important. What's important are people and being intentional in reaching people with the gospel of Christ. Because if we want to see God move in our church, God wants to use us in order to do that. And that's why we believe that He wants to engage all of us, and we're to engaging all people so that they can experience Christ and become equipped for life. So repeat after me, engage all people to experience Christ. Now let's put it all together, those two phrases. Engage all people to experience Christ. All right, now I hope at the end of next week we're going to have this fully memorized. It's going to be a part of our DNA. If anybody ever asks you, what are you trying to do? That's what we're doing. Engaging all people to experience Christ and equip them for life. And everything around that statement is going to define what we do here at our church. Now, to talk about experiencing Christ, I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, great chapter in God's Word. And let me give you a little context before I read the passage of Scripture. Here, Paul is doing a contrast and comparison between his old life and his new life. He has been talking about how he lived a very religious life. He talks about living a life in the flesh, a life in the flesh. Now, what he means by that is that I was doing all these things in order to be accepted by God. I was a very important individual as it related to my religious system. And he lists those earlier in the verses that I'm going to read today. He talks about how he was the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as far as a Pharisee, one who obeyed all the law. He was a zealot. He was one who was persecuting Christians. He was doing all this for God. But what he came to realize is that that was not enough. That he could not do enough on his own to earn God's favor. That he came to understand how God extended his grace to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was through Christ that a man could have a relationship with God, not based on what he had done or what he was doing at the time for God. So with that context, listen to the words that Paul writes in Philippians 3. I want to begin in verse 7. He's listed all these accomplishments of life, and then he says, But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from the dead. Now, verses 10 and 11 are the key verses. But again, by way of introduction, I want you to notice verses 9, 10, and 11, where you have the fullness, the complete understanding of salvation. In verse 9, he talks about regeneration or justification, how a person is made right with God. That's our salvation experience. In verse 10, he talks about sanctification. He talks about the maturing process of the Christian. And then in verse 11, he talks about glorification, what it's going to be like one day when we are with Christ. And so he kind of sets that up in those verses all together. Now, with that, I want to answer a few questions this morning. First of all, what does it mean to experience Christ? What does it mean to experience Christ? When we say that in the vision statement, what does that really mean? Well, he answers that, Paul does, in verse 10 and in verse 8. Notice verse 10, first of all, my goal is to know Him. Then in verse 8, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of what? Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So it's the issue of knowing. Experience is about knowing. And knowing Christ, he says, is of surpassing value. That means it's more excellent, it's more value. All these other things that I've done, the sum of my life does not compare to that of knowing Jesus Christ. All that I've done in the past, all that I'm doing now, could in no possible way allow me to have a relationship with God, to spend eternity in heaven with Him apart from knowing Jesus Christ. So when he uses the word know, he's talking about understanding and experiencing Christ. In the verse, specifically, he's talking about experiencing the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to know the power of His resurrection. Now, what does he mean by that? How do we experience the resurrection of power of Christ? Well, in three ways. First of all, we experience it in the new life. If Christ had not been raised, Paul says, we are of all people most to be pitied. Then we are dead still in our sin. And we're not able to have a spiritual life. Because Christ has been raised, I'm able to be raised spiritually. I'm able to have a new birth. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Our God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, the reason why He said that verse is Nicodemus asked, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again. So a person has to come to a point in life where they recognize their sin and their need for a Savior, and they are born again. The Spirit comes alive. Now, that has to happen because God is a spirit being, and we cannot have a relationship with Him apart from our spirit coming alive. So at the moment of salvation, He turns the light on, that our spirit comes alive. We become quickened. We are awakened to spiritual things. And through that conviction, He helps us understand our need for Jesus Christ. So we experience the power of the resurrection of Christ with a new life. Secondly, we experience the power of the resurrection with a moral life. That's in the present. That's after my salvation experience. I need to have a moral life. That morality, remember, we've talked about it before, means oughtness, what I ought to do. Whenever you study morality in school or ethics, it's what a person ought to do. It's not what he can do, it's what he ought to do. There are a lot of things we can do, but should we do that? Is it right for us to do it? And so what is the rightness of a particular situation? What I ought to do? So every day we are confronted with moral issues. right or wrong issues. And so how do I respond to that? And how am I able to do that? And when I feel so inadequate, I feel that I have no power to do that. That's why Paul says that it's in our weakness that we experience the power of the resurrection, the grace of God that we need for the moral life. And then the third way we experience the resurrection of power of Christ, the way we're able to know Christ, experience Christ, is through eternal life. That one day we'll be raised to be with Him. Apart from the resurrection of Christ, we're not able to experience eternal life in heaven. Because Christ was raised, we too will be raised. So knowing Christ is experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now, what is experience? Experience is our response. Experience is our response. Now, think about it. I experienced a horrible football game last night on TV. All right? Now, that means that I participated in some way, right? That I was engaged and I was in that moment experiencing something. You know, and that so my response to that game, so bad I turned it off and went to bed. That's my response to that. That's my experience. So we are encountering experiences all the time. And we're a part of that. So experience is simply our response. In fact, it's really an act of worship. And for every person, you're going to respond in one of two ways, either as an unbeliever or as a believer. As an unbeliever, my response is salvation. It's coming to know Christ. I'm experiencing Him in that way. But for a believer, every day it is faith and obedience. Every day for us, our experience is a response of faith and obedience to God. That's how we experience Him. And so you're going to face that encounter even now, what we're doing right here. Am I experiencing Him? Am I faithfully listening to what God is saying? Am I willing to obey what He asked me to do as a form of response? So we are experiencing Him. Now, here it is. We want everybody to experience Christ because the object of our experience is Christ. We want everyone to experience what? Jesus Christ. And so we are engaged by Him and we are equipped for Him. In other words, we come to Him to be engaged with Him, and then from there we go to equip others. And the focal of that, the point of that, is Jesus Christ. So we want people to experience Him, Jesus Christ. Listen, not church. We don't want people to experience church. That will fail them. We don't want them to experience a denominational label. That is not what this is about. Well, we do not want them to experience good works, being a good person. We want them to experience Jesus Christ. Now, what are we to do? We're to lead people to Christ. Now, we can't save them. You know, the Old Testament, the psalmist says, "He who wins souls is wise." So we ought to be about winning people to Christ, but we need to be careful we understand what that means. I can't win somebody to Jesus. I can't argue with them to the point that I have won them over. Because if I do that, it's really going to be false security. And they're not going to have a sincere commitment. You know, and so I need to know what I believe. I need to be able to engage and have a conversation. And there might be opportunities, as I've had before, to even debate the issue. But what happens spiritually is that a person is led to Jesus. That's our job. We're getting them exposed to Jesus Christ. We're getting them exposed to the gospel message about Jesus Christ. And then we let the Holy Spirit work in their heart. As I said earlier, I can't turn the light on in a person. Only Christ, only the Holy Spirit can do that. But we're to be faithful witnesses of Him. So we lead them to Jesus. And that experience is between you and Christ. It's between them and Jesus Christ. Now let me give you some examples. As I did last week, those who were engaged with God, of these who experienced God or experienced Christ. Again, we begin with Abraham, who was one who experienced God as God gave him a vision. He was going to be the father of a great nation. Moses experienced God at the burning bush, a bush that was burning that was never consumed. And there this dialogue takes place between God and Moses. And he is given the message of deliverance, that he is to be the leader to deliver the Hebrew children out of Egypt to the promised land. Then we find Jacob experiences God. He wrestles with God. Such a significant experience that Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Israel. Then Isaiah had an experience with God. Isaiah chapter 6, beautiful passage of scripture. Isaiah writes that when I was in the presence of God Almighty, when I was there in His holiness, I was a person who was undone, literally. I was ruined. I was totally exposed for who I am before God, and I recognize that I'm a man of unclean lips, and I represent a people of unclean lips, confessing his sin. And then he is touched by God, and his lips are touched. He is cleansed, he is healed, and then he is ready to be sent out. Who shall go for us? Here am I, send me. So he has this beautiful encounter, this experience with God. We find Saul on the Damascus Road. He has an experience with Jesus Christ. His life is forever changed, the greatest missionary who ever lived. Then we find the disciples. Each of them had unique experiences with him in different ways. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we find these words. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and knew that they had been with Jesus. They had experienced Christ in such a way that when the world encountered these disciples, these followers of Christ, they knew their lives were changed by Jesus Christ, by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what about Peter? Well, I don't have time to really get down into this, but Peter had many experiences with Jesus. Remember how God called him to follow him, and he was willing to do so. Peter was pretty radical. He was impulsive. He was going to die for Jesus when Jesus said that he was going to die. When they came to arrest Jesus, Caiaphas, high priest, had a servant that was with him, and Peter cut off his ear. Peter then finds himself in the courtyard where Jesus is arrested. He's held just outside Caiaphas' home, and he denies Jesus three times. Jesus dies on the cross. He's raised from the dead. For 40 days, he walks around. He encounters the disciples. Remember what the angels said? Go and tell the disciples, and especially Peter. John chapter 21, Jesus is on the shore of Galilee. And there, the disciples encounter him, and Peter is restored. Such a beautiful scene. You know, we're going to mess up. We're going to sin against him. We're going to deny him. We're going to fail him in so many ways. But God in his grace loves us still. And the proof of that is what happened to Peter. And Jesus gave Peter an assignment. He put him on mission. He didn't say, you're no good. I can't use you. But because of Peter's repentance, because of his heart toward Jesus, that Jesus knew him as he knows you. He knows the desire of your heart and what you really, really want. You want to know him and you want to please him and live a life that glorifies him. And so many experiences that Peter had came full circle to be a committed follower of Christ. Now our vision is engaging people for the sole purpose of them experiencing Christ. We want people to know him and to experience him on a regular basis. Now, second question is this. How does our church experience Christ? Well, I'm going to give you several ways of how we do that here. I mentioned those last week of how we engage people, engaging ministries. What are some experiencing Christ ministries here? Well, what we do in here, worship on Sunday morning. Everything that we're doing is designed for you to experience him. Gabe said that earlier. And we're always talking internally about what can we do better? What can we do creatively to help people experience Christ in this place. That's all we care to see happen. And so all that we're doing, we want to help you do that. Celebrate Recovery is another place where people are able to experience Christ. I love Celebrate Recovery. Every year, once a year, they ask me to come and share my testimony. And I'm able to just kind of just be Mark. I'm not the pastor. I'm just Mark. And we all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And I tell them, I'm a guy just like y'all are. And I have struggles, you have struggles. And I tell them, everybody in our church has these kinds of struggles. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Because of the fact that every single person in this room has hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we ought to be through Celebrate Recovery and to understand how God wants us to experience Him. And we see many people come to know Christ. We see many people break the bondage of sin that they're exposed to and how they can't get free from that. But you see, that's what the power of the resurrection of Jesus is all about. It's breaking those chains of bondage in a person's life. So they're able to experience Christ in that setting. Our students, on Wednesday night, they're able to experience Christ. They have a worship service there where they sing and they have testimony sometimes, or they'll study God's Word. They'll do different things where they're able to experience Christ. And one of the greatest places that we see this happen, I'm not able to be in there, but it's in our rally room with our preschoolers. It's a sight to see. And I've been to them or I've seen them on occasion in another setting. But it's wonderful to see those little preschoolers, 2, 3, 4 years old, and they're in the room listening to music and they're singing their hearts to the Lord. Now, they may not fully understand what they're singing, but they're in an environment where the soil is being plowed up. The heart is being prepared for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for them to learn that they are uniquely created by a Creator God and that He loves them and He wants to have a relationship with them. And we're very intentional in what we do in our preschool ministry. It's not some babysitting job in there. But we're really trying to teach them the love of God and help prepare them that at an early age, according to God's eternal plan, they'll come to know the one true God and their Savior, Jesus Christ. And those are just a few of the different types of places where people are able to experience Christ. Now, how can you experience Christ? How can you do that? Well, let me give you some specific ways. First of all, that can happen in corporate worship. I alluded to that, but I'll take a minute and talk about this. I want you to write down a date. Saturday, March 2nd. Saturday, March 2nd. That's correct. We're going to have a Saturday evening worship experience, and it's called Discovering Worship. And I'm going to ask every one of you to come, and it's going to be a different kind of worship service. In it, it's going to be an abbreviated service as far as the elements of the service, but those of us who are leading out, we're going to take time and explain to you what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. I especially want to encourage parents to bring your children. And parents, I want you to have your antennas up so you can help your little ones understand what's going on in the big room. And they are maybe in the room at different times, but they're not able to understand. One of our staff members told me last week that his daughter asked him, how does Brother Mark get his messages? How does he know what to say? I was so glad he did not say he gets them on the internet. I don't do that, all right? But think about that question. Have you ever wondered how I determine what I need to say and how I need to say it and when I need to say it? The whole planning aspect of what we're trying to do, what we're trying to communicate, how we do that, when we do that, is very strategic. It's very intentional. It's not just Saturday night, 11-minute special. You know, oh God, I need a sermon, give it to me. I mean, there's much more. I think there's too much at stake for me to do that. I think there's far more at stake. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to get down in the weeds of how, you know, all that goes into that. But to help you get just a broad understanding of that. Or why do we pick the songs that we do? And why would we do them that way? Well, we're going to talk about that. We baptized Bryn Banderman the first hour. What's that about? Why do we do it? And how does that happen? Whenever we have announcements, part of our worship experience. So we want people to understand the dynamics of worship. And so it'll help you. When you come, there'll hopefully be more of a sense of anticipation of what's going to happen when you come in here. And believe that God wants to help you experience Christ in this worship setting. So Saturday night, March 2nd, put it on your calendar. I think it'll be very helpful. I think it's going to really enhance what we're trying to accomplish here on Sunday mornings in our worship. You can also experience Christ in private worship. And that is when you get alone with God, as you read your Bible, as you pray, as you listen to music, you have different elements. And God wants us to experience Him on a daily basis. Now, I don't think God wants us to be legalistic and that He's going to thump you if you missed your Bible reading that day. I don't think that's who God is. I think God wants us to experience Him in the moment, and I think He wants us to be intentional. I think we need structure in order to experience Him, and I have that structure in my life. There are different elements I use for my own daily worship. There are times that things happen, and I missed one or several of those elements, but later in the day, God will allow me an opportunity to experience Christ. Look, even if you wake up in the morning and you have no time to pray and you have no time to read your Bible or listen to your music and for some reason you're running late, you've got a few moments between the time you leave your house and the time you get to where you work. And maybe listening to Christian music will help you, or somebody share a message on the radio, or maybe, as often I do, I don't listen to anything. And I just talk to God, or I'll listen to God. And you have a moment where you can experience Him in that moment just to get your mind still before you face the onslaught of the world and the onslaught of the enemy, of how he's going to try to discourage you or whatever else. You need to be spiritually prepared for what you're engaging in the culture that we live in. And so you need to take time to have private worship. Different tools, many aids that you can use to be creative for you, because what I do may not be good for you, and what you do may not be good for me. But and you can't feel guilty because you're not doing what somebody else is doing. Listen, you just start experiencing Christ on a daily basis, and God's going to help you see what you need. You need to be exposed to what's out there, but start trying different things, and you'll realize that helps, that doesn't help. That's not good or bad. It's just you're uniquely created to hear from God the way that He speaks to you because of your personality, because of the way that you're wired. And He does that different ways to different people. So don't get on a guilt trip. Don't be legalistic. But have a heart toward the Lord where you experience Him on a daily basis. And then there are God moments. God moments where we're able to experience Christ. How you can do that on a daily basis. Now, first thing you need to do is pray for those. When you start the day, God, I know that you want me to experience you, and I pray that you'll give me a God moment where I know that I'm engaged with you and I'm experiencing you. And that happened in different ways as you encounter people. And one of the ways that I do that is I ask questions. I'll just ask a person, how are things going today? And sometimes they'll tell me it's going great or, man, it's going terrible. And they'll just open up their hearts. Now, that may not be the moment that I share the gospel, but it's a way that I'm engaging that person. And then there's the blessing of being able to give them the hope of Christ. You know, sometimes the experience of Christ is not what He did in me, but what He did through me, and I'm able to receive a blessing for that. You know, a lot of times we're self-absorbed, waiting for Christ to do something for us, which means I want somebody else to do something for me. But often, the experiencing Christ moment, the God moment, is me being able to do something that God puts on my heart to do, and then I step back and I know that God has blessed me because I was used and it pleases Him I was just simply available, the vehicle by which God wanted to share that blessing. There's a lot more I could say about that, but let me move on to this. Experiencing Christ, this is important, is not just a feel-good moment either on Sunday mornings. And, you know, we have the weekly experience, and we walk out, and, oh, we feel good. That was great what we experienced. But God wants you to have that moment every day. But listen, we also are able to experience Christ in the brokenness of life. In fact, as I believe Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, that's when God screams at us the loudest, is in those moments where we're suffering, the moments of brokenness, because God has our attention. We're able to hear what He wants to say to us. So don't be mad at God because of the brokenness that you're experiencing, the suffering that you're experiencing. I don't know why God has allowed that to happen, and I don't know all that He's trying to do, but I do know that that is a God moment, and that you could experience Him in a very powerful way as you seek Him in the midst of that brokenness, as you trust Him to know that He loves you and that He wants to help you. In those moments, we experience His strength. We experience His comfort. We experience His peace and His grace, His forgiveness, much, much more. So in the highs and lows of life, you can experience the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. The presence, He's always there, and the power of His resurrection. This is what Paul means when he says, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, and notice, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. That means death to self. So experiencing the power of Christ enables you to experience Him and not self. Listen, I've had enough of experiencing self. I don't want to experience any more of me. I want to experience more of Him. I've had enough of me. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of me. And when you come to the point that you've had enough about you, I'm going to tell you, that is a great spiritual moment when you recognize all that I desire, all that I want to know is Him. And when we know Him, life is forever different. That's where we get the victory. Finally, how often can you experience Christ? I love this verse. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For His mercies never end. They don't end at death. They continue through eternity. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, what is He saying there? He's saying that every day I can experience Him. I don't care how bad it is in your life right now. And it's real. It's bad. But there is something new, something fresh that you can experience from God. And it's His mercy, His grace in your life. He gives His faithful love to you, though you don't deserve it. His love never ends. It never ceases. He'll never give up on you. God wants to use you. And God wants to use our church to engage all people to experience Jesus Christ. Well, I talked about a physical birth in Loving County. Let me talk about a spiritual birth that took place in Parker County, Texas, in a town called Peaster. Peaster is a town of about 100 people. It's north of Weatherford, Texas, if you know where that is, near Fort Worth. And years ago, a pastor was getting ready to go there, and Dr. Jimmy Draper was telling me this story of how this young pastor was going to go to this church. And boy, he was going to tear it up for Jesus. You know, he was going to go out there, and a town of less than 100 people. And after a few years, as Dr. Draper tells the story, he went to visit that pastor. And that church had just built a worship center that seats 1,000 people. I believe it was last Easter they had 1,900 there. in a town of less than 100 people. Now, how in the world were they able to do that? I'll give you one example. The highway department came through town, and they were throwing gravel. Now, in Texas, they put the gravel down, and they spray oil over it. That's how they do that. You know, it's not too sophisticated. So it takes a few days to do all that on that stretch of the highway. The laymen of the church went out every day at noon, and they fed the workers on the highway. After they finished, 13 men who worked on that highway project came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. All their families came to know Christ, were baptized, assimilated into the life of that church. And that happened over and over and over and over again. By people in a congregation, just a few people that it started out with, were committed to engaging all people so they could experience the power of Jesus Christ, the new life that can only be found in Him. Now listen, that's what this is all about. I don't know what God's going to do, but I believe God wants to use you for His kingdom's purpose. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men. They will see your good works and glorify your God in heaven." Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There might be somebody here today who would say, "Pastor, I've known about Jesus, but I've never experienced Him. I really don't know Him as you've described in God's Word." You've not really experienced the power of Christ in your life. Life-transforming power. So this morning, I want to help you do that. That's all I can do. I can't make that happen. I can help you, though. I can lead you to Jesus Christ. And so even though you may not know what to do or say, I just want to encourage you, when we begin to sing, that you'll step out and come to one of us who are here at the front and let us help you make that commitment to experience the new life that you can have in Christ. There might be others who would say, "Pastor, I know the Lord, but I'm not engaged as I should be in helping others experience Christ." Well, maybe there's something in the message today that God just spoke to your heart. You experienced Him in a very unique way. This is what I need to do in order to be engaged with others or to be engaged with Him. Something in your own private worship that's important, how you can experience Him. Maybe if you were honest, you would say, "You know, it's just been a while when I really have experienced the Lord." Well, it's not because of Him. It's because of us. And God wants that freshness in your life. And so maybe there's something today that He's asking you to do, to re-engage so that you can experience Him. And then you're able to help others experience Christ. Maybe part of that experience is becoming part of our church family. God wants to use you here at our church to find encouragement and strength and help, but then also to be used through the ministries of this church to reach our community for Christ. There's no reason why God can't do that here. What He's done in other places, all of history, He can do it today. I pray that God will do that. I believe He wants to do that. But do we want that? Are we willing to let Him use us? There might be others that maybe you just need to come and pray or have somebody pray for you. We want to do that as well. Father, I thank You for speaking to me and preparing for today. And Lord, speaking to these who are here. In this setting, experience You in a fresh way. Father, I pray that with the challenge that we've heard from Your Word, that we'll respond by faith and obedience. Even now, in Jesus' name, amen.